Greetings, this is Pastor Thomas A. DeLoach, and this episode is brought to you by To Empower You, a podcast dedicated to helping young adults and young couples achieve their goals and dreams from a biblical context. Pastor Thomas A. DeLoach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to To Empower You. Yes, it's me, Thomas A. DeLoach. And I appreciate you taking this opportunity to connect with me today. On today's show, I want to talk about your crisis will birth new opportunities. If I could give a definition of this word crisis, it would be defined as an intense difficulty, trouble, or pain. But I like this definition even better. A time when a difficult or an important decision must be made. One of the things that we've got to do is adjust the way we perceive life. Even as believers, sometimes we have a faulty view and expectation that we pick up by listening to bad teaching and even bad advice. And I don't know if you've ever gotten bad advice before, but it can shave off years off of your existence. Time wasted, money spent, energy gone. And then we have the influence of the culture, what they say we should do, what they say we shouldn't do. All of this white noise swirling around in our heart can really make for a bad situation and really mess us up. One of the things also you need to know, and I'm sure you do, is that bad things do happen. And yes, they happen to good people. So one of the things that we've got to do in life is to figure out, what do I do when I don't know what to do? Because we're going to go through trials, troubles, and tribulations in life. I want to start off here in Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. It's about 8 verses here. And I want to take each verse and give some points and give some insight and some instruction on how Jesus was able to navigate through some difficult things in his life, not to mention how he was able to help the disciples understand that even in this crisis moment, there's some success here. There's some victory here. There's something in this that I want you to see. At the end of the day, you're going to get through it because you got God on your side. You got Christ in your heart. So no matter how difficult you may perceive your situation, I want you to know there's some hope for you. All right. So in Matthew chapter 14, we're going to start here at verse number 13. And it says, now, when Jesus heard this, talking about the death of John the Baptist, he went away from there privately in a boat to isolate himself. But when the crowds heard about it, they followed him on foot from the towns. So we can see here from the onset that this first crisis is disguised as persecution, but it breaks out in the first 8 verses of chapter 14, and the rest of the narrative explains how Jesus responded to this crisis situation. Let me give you point number 1. When a crisis happens in your life, isolate yourself with God. Because Jesus understood that John the Baptist is my cousin and he died. And I'm sure when John was murdered and executed, Jesus grieved about that. I don't think he was happy to hear about that. I believe he was sad when he heard that news. But he realized that I've got to go into isolation and hear what the Father has to say to me about this situation. Also, this may have been a warning to Jesus, seeing as though Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and wanted to quell his momentum. He wanted to stop him any way he could. So Jesus's response was different in a time of crisis. He chose to isolate himself with God. Here's why. He wanted to wait on God in prayer because this restored Jesus's energy and prepared him for the next bigger task he was supposed to do that day, and that was to feed the 5,000. And so Jesus had to make a choice. I'm either going to let what I heard about that happened to John that I'm not happy about, I'm either going to let this ruin my day, or I'm going to spend some time with the Lord and allow him to birth a miracle out of me, because I know that there's somebody that I've got to feed somewhere down the road in my today. Also, one of the things we must never do is panic. Don't ever panic. Tell yourself, I cannot panic. When we panic, we lose power. When we panic, we lose energy. When we panic, we can't think clearly. And we start running to people, asking them what they think, how they feel about the situation. But when we run to God, we can ask Him for wisdom on how to handle the situation, because this prepares us for the future. And in order for you to be prepared for the future, you got to run and you've got to connect with God. That's point number one. Isolate yourself with the Father. Number two, keep your priorities straight. We can see this in verse number 14. Because when a crisis happens in our life, many times we don't know what to do. Should I do this first? Should I do this second? We get all jumbled up. But this is what Jesus did. Jesus didn't stop ministering to people. As a matter of fact, it lets us know that Jesus began to move with compassion. He saw the people, they were struggling, they were hungry, and he said, I got to do something about this. It birthed another opportunity that was going on in his own life. He said, I'm going to move with some compassion, because in an effort to handle the situation, many times we switch priorities. We make solving the problem our highest priority, and the least priority is given for ministry. And so Jesus chose right here, I need to keep my thing straight. I need to keep the main thing, because most Christians tend to stop what they're doing when they face a crisis. As soon as they hit some trouble, as soon as they hit a trial, a tribulation, a place that they've never been before, they check out. They stop attending church. They stop praying. They stop fellowshipping. They stop doing all the things that brought them the type of victory that they were looking for. But when you're going through a difficult situation, and I get it, we want to just shut down. But I want to tell you, you got to push through. If the same spirit that resurrected Jesus from the grave lives in you, you might be down, but you can't stay down. It's something about helping people that energizes you. It's something about digging deep inside, finding that intestinal fortitude to push through and say, I'm not going to let the devil ruin my day. I'm not going to let him steal my joy. I'm not going to let him steal my peace, but I'm going to persevere and keep my priorities straight. One of the things you've got to remember, too, is that ministry is not something we do when we want to do it when things are good. No, I've got to do it when I'm frustrated. I've got to do it when I'm disappointed. I've got to do it when tears are rolling down my face, because God is trusting me. And this is where the anointing is real. It's tangible. It's a yoke destroying, burden removing power of the living God. I've had times in my life when I just didn't feel it. I didn't see how I could do it. But when that anointing inside of you is real and it's stirring up inside of you, I'm telling you, it's a power within that can help you do a task and cheer you up at the same time. So I want you to know that even though these things were going on in the life of Jesus, he kept his priorities straight, and he realized that I've got to continue to do what the Father has told me to do. I've got to stay in control. What Jesus did, he kept on ministering to the crowd. And that's what I want you to know. You've got to continue to do what God has called you to do. Point number three, be a part of the solution, not the problem. And you'll see this play out in verses 15 and 16 in Matthew chapter 14. Because the disciples told Jesus to send the people to a nearby village so that they can get some food. Because in the crisis situation, most Christians are likely to play a part in the problem. Or many times, they are likely to play a part in messing things up. They don't want to be a part of the solution. They just want to continue to exacerbate all the things that can never happen, all the things that we can't do. But in a crisis situation, you've got to bring some ideas. You got to bring some insight. You can't gossip and talk and criticize and talk about people. No, you can't do that. Jesus told the disciples, you feed them. Can you imagine that? All of these people, and Jesus said, it is within your means, since you've been following me, since you've been hearing my words. I want you guys to feed the people. But when you are a part of the problem and not a part of the solution, it shuts down your anointing. It shuts down your ability to influence. It shuts down your ability to go to the next level. And so one of the things that you've got to realize is you got to dig deep, because Jesus would have never asked them to do something if he didn't think that they could do it. So God does expect you and I to be a part of the solution and not the problem. God does expect you and I to help. He does expect the anointing that he has invested inside of you. Don't let the Lord's death be for nothing. Don't let him have to go through or had gone through all that he went through just for nothing. Say that I'm going to rise up. I'm going to see what he's saying. And I'm going to do what he's called me to do, even in a difficult situation when my mind cannot conceive what he is saying or even what he's even asking me to do. I'm going to be a part of the solution and not the problem. Point number four, contribute with what you have. Give what you got, such as I have, the Bible says, give I unto thee. So contribute with what you have. And you'll see this play out in verses 17 and 18. Because there were only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So Jesus ordered the disciples to bring them to him. Watch this. Get it out of your hands and get it into my hands. That's what that word contribute means. It means to give. So when you've got it in your possession, it can't do much. But when you give it to God, he has the ability to take that thing and multiply it. So Jesus said, bring me the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. Because everyone wants to be a part of the solution many times, but they must contribute what they have. And don't worry about the quantity of your resources, because God can do more with less. As a matter of fact, I want you to repeat that. God can do more with less. Come on, say it. God can do more with less. He really can. God can take something in your life that you think is nothing, that you think is meaningless, just the scraps. And if you can get it into God's hands, if you can realize it's not going to help you in your hands, it's not going to multiply in your hands, it's not going to go to the next level in your hands. But if you can get it out of your hands and get it into the hands of the master, it can multiply, it can grow, it can be something significant. And so Jesus said to them, bring it to me because I've got something in mind for this. Give it to me because I want to show you a miracle. Give it to me. Even in this crisis moment, there's an opportunity to feed an amalgam of people. Can you imagine that? With just 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread and what Jesus had to go through at the first part of his day, hearing bad news. But he was trying to teach them. He was trying to coach them, the disciples. He was trying to help them. I'm not going to let the enemy, I'm not going to let nobody shut me down, because I was brought into the world for such a time as this. And I want you to know, you were brought into the world for such a time as this. Bring what you have to God. Contribute what you have to him. Point number 5. Give thanks to God. This verse doesn't tell us that Jesus prayed about the problem. When we pray, we don't tell God something he already knows. Many times we spend too much time in prayer complaining and trying to tell God something that he's not privy to, that he does not understand, as if we're giving him new information, as if we're enlightening him on the stuff that's going on in our life. God already knows the crisis stuff that you're dealing with. He knows the trials, the troubles, the tribulations that you're going through. But we've got to take a page out of Jesus's book. When he was going through certain things, he didn't spend time telling the Father useless things, trying to twist his arm to make God do something he was not going to do. That's not how we pray. We have to pray intelligently, but we've got to begin with praise and thanksgiving and gratitude, telling God how good he is, how wonderful he is, how powerful he is. And that is what it means when we have gratitude in our heart. When you're really grateful for all the things that God has done for you, you tell him. Yeah, he knows everything, but he wants to hear from you. When you pray, when you open up your mouth, speak well of him. You wouldn't want anybody only coming to you when they were in trouble. But you would like to hear from a friend sometimes tell you how good you've been to them. They can appreciate your friendship and how you are there for them in troubled times. You want somebody to love on you and to tell you, amen to God, I wouldn't be here if it weren't for your prayers, if you hadn't encouraged me or helped me or loved me through a particular situation in my life. We've got to learn how to take a moment and praise God. And this is what Jesus did. He said, I'm going to give thanks to the Father. We know that prayer is important, but sometimes merely crying out to God about the problem, it hinders God's intervention. Thanksgiving is an essential part of prayer. Hear me again. Thanksgiving and gratitude is an essential part of prayer. And notice what Jesus did. Looking up to heaven, he took a moment and he said, God, I'm going to thank you. I'm going to praise you. While I'm thanking you, while I'm praising you, I'm going to break this bread. I'm going to break it. I'm going to pass it out. And when it gets into the hands of the disciples, it's going to multiply and it's going to feed the people. Many times we've just got to understand the power of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is not something that happens in November. Thanksgiving has to happen every day of your life. Every day really is a day of Thanksgiving. It's a day of gratitude. God gives you a gift every day. When he wakes you up in the morning, that's a gift because many people don't get that opportunity. And if you're listening to me right now, you are a part of the Blessed Club because you are alive and things may not be the way you thought that they were going to be. Things may be bad or difficult, but this is why you need to see the power of Thanksgiving. In it all, I'm going to praise you. In it all, I'm going to trust you. In it all, I'm going to thank you. Even if all you have is bread in your house, thank God for the bread. Even if you got leftovers, thank God for leftovers. Even if you got a raggedy car, thank God for a raggedy car because people are walking. Some people wish they had a car. Many people wish they had the crisis problems you have because at least you have something to give God thanks and praise for. And this is what Jesus did. The Bible talks about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God concerning you. We're not thanking God for the problem so much, but we're thanking God that he's in the problem with me. I'm thanking God that he hasn't left me. I'm thanking God that in the midst of this, something good is going to happen because God would not allow me to go through this if there was not something on the other side of it that was going to push me to the next level. This is what Jesus did. He gave thanks to God. And finally, point number 6, don't react in the flesh. Don't allow the flesh to pull you out of the spirit. We know that the flesh is always warring with the things of the spirit. We know that good and evil dynamic. But don't allow your flesh to constantly dictate everything that's going on in your life. Because everything that you see, it's not always what it is. There's always something greater. There's a deeper depth that you may not understand that's going on behind the scenes. When we react in the flesh, we blame others. We blame God. Watch this. We panic again about the situation. We don't praise. We don't give God thanks. We just start talking out of our head. I'm sure you've done that before. Because when you get in a negative space, you can just start rattling off so many things. And remember that death and life is in the power of your tongue. You got to be able to watch what you say in a bad situation, in a crisis moment. But Jesus never did that. He was always in control and he never allowed the flesh to dictate his life. He realized that I'm going to be the action. I'm not going to react to everything that's going on in my life. Stop reacting. Be the action. When you get up in the morning, tell yourself, I'm not going to let the flesh dictate. I'm not going to let the flesh rule. I'm not going to let my mentality and my mindset that's negative mess me up. And many of you know that you struggle with a negative mentality. And if you know that, and if you're paying attention to the things that you are saying out of your mouth, the moment you say it, you need to shut it down. You need to say, you know what? I didn't mean to say that. Let me fix this. Let me throw out some positive vibes. Let me throw out the word of God. Let me say what God has to say about my situation. Notice that this verse says that everyone ate and had their fill. We're talking about Matthew chapter 14, verses 20 and 21. Everyone ate and had their fill, and 12 baskets were filled with the pieces that was left behind. Notice Jesus's day, first part of his day, hearing about the news of John the Baptist. But he said, you know what? I'm going to isolate myself with God. And through that isolation, I'm sure God downloaded into his son's spirit, Jesus Christ, and said, you know what? Because you did this for me, I'm going to produce a miracle that's going to flow from heaven through your hands and feed 5,000 people. Man, that's a lot of people. Can you imagine the things we could do if we were not dictated by the flesh? Can you imagine the daily miracles that can flow out of our hands if we were not dictated by the things that were going on, what our eyes are seeing, what our ears are hearing? It's not always what you think it is. We must respond in every situation in faith. That's what Jesus did. He responded. He made sure that I'm not going to allow what I'm hearing, what I know has happened to John the Baptist, to shut me down. I loved him. I cared for him. But I know that God has something bigger on the horizons for me. And that's what I want to tell you today. God has something big in your crisis moment for you. I want you to take a moment and look at the situation that you're in right now. You may be looking at it from the flesh, but I want you to see it from the Spirit of God. I want you to see it the way he sees it. He says it's not a crisis, it's an opportunity. See, what you call something, it will be. What you call it, it will give life to. So stop giving life to things you don't want. Give life to things that you do want. And again, death and life is in the power of your tongue. Use your mouth and speak life over everything that's around you. Situations that you think in your mind that's confusing you. You want to say something negative, but you can't. You got to speak life to it. Do it. I promise you, things will change. God has something new he wants to birth in you. God has an idea, a witty invention, something that you haven't thought about yet. Right in that problem, right in that situation, there's something good that God wants to bring out of it for you. I want to pray for you. Father, I lift up this person to you right now that's listening to this podcast. I know they're going through some difficult challenges, some difficult times, some difficult seasons, but I speak increase over them. I want them to know and understand that this is just the beginning of what you're going to do in their life. I shut down every demonic stronghold, everything that the enemy is trying to do in their life to confuse them, upset them, oppress them, depress them. Every situation in their life right now, you say to them, there's some good in it. Help them to see. Pull the scales off of their eyes so that they can see the good thing, the great thing that you want to do in them. Father, I thank you that this is going to be a week of miracles for them. That the thing that they thought could never recover, maybe it's their bills that they can't pay. Maybe it's sickness in their body. It's a whole bunch of things, God, that they may be dealing with. But Father, I thank you now that you are doing something that's creatively being released into their spirit right now. You're talking to somebody on their behalf about them that's going to help them, that's going to push them through the next level. I give you praise. I give you glory for their life. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. My prayer today is that you were able to get something from this particular show. I want you to know that your crisis will birth some opportunities. Keep your faith high and know that this It's just a trying of your faith, but you're going to get through it and get to the next level. Listen, I want you to go to my website, thomasadeloach.com. Connect with me there. Read a few things that I have there on my site. Also, send me an email. If these shows are blessing you, I want to hear
from you. Thank you for listening to my show.
Send me an email
to empower you.
Info.
If you were blessed, inspired, and encouraged.
I want you to have a blessed day.
Please send me a praise report.
Exalted day.
Prayer request.
Understand and know.
Or show ideas.
This too shall pass.
To info
God has your back.
At thomasadeloach.com.
Your birth.
And follow me on Instagram.
God bless.
At Thomas A. Deloach. And Facebook. At Dr. Thomas A. Deloach. And remember, you can go to my website anytime at www.thomasadeloach.com. Until next time, be empowered.